Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Felix, co-founder and CEO at Baibu. As the heating season kicks off, energy use and of course energy bills start climbing. Baibu is tackling that issue. We learn today how they help buildings save energy, costs and of course CO2. At the core of their approach is a software platform that uses AI-driven heating control and digital energy management. We'll learn more about this in just a few minutes. Welcome, Felix.
Thank you, Jan.
My first question to all my guests is always, what's your background or who are you as a person? So why don't you introduce yourself?
So me as a person, I have a background in mechanical energy and electrical engineering. So I studied in Germany first at RWTH Aachen, mechanical engineering in my bachelor's, and then in my master's I did energy engineering. I started with mechanical engineering because when I came from high school I wanted to become a Formula One engineer actually, and then somewhere in between my studies I thought maybe that's not the most impactful job, and then change directions a bit. Already during my bachelor's, I started to work at Institute, or what's the exact name? The Institute of Professor Müller in Aachen. He deals with like technical building equipment and indoor climate. A couple of startups actually come out of that. Like you've talked to Johannes from Edifian, I think a year ago roughly.
Yep.
He's also from that institute.
Nice.
So I got into kind of building controls there, which I really liked. And then for my master thesis, I went to Berkeley and really got into the field of how can you use data to control building energy systems, also district energy systems. I really liked the kind of the research field. And then looked for a PhD position and then ended up in Zurich. And there I had a really cool position because I was in between two research institutes. One is EMPA, the Urban Energy Systems Lab, which is very applied, but very focused on one topic. And then at ETH Zurich, I was at the Automatic Control Lab, which is quite a theoretical research institute.
Right.
So I was really in the intersection of control theory, machine learning, and application. And that's also where Baibu came out. We'll talk about that later. And then maybe privately, I live roughly half of my time in Cologne and half of my time in Zurich. So privately, I live in Cologne. And then I travel to Zurich for Baibu.
Which we're going to talk about today.
Which we are going to talk about today.
Right. I mean, and you've already started to hint slightly at what Baibu is, and I tried to give a summary in the introduction. So maybe let's stay there. What's the problem that you're tackling, and maybe sort of what's the connection to the research that you did during your PhD time as well?
So let's say the overarching problem we are solving is that buildings are responsible for, depending on what source you cite, 30 to 40% of our CO2 emissions. And it's combined to compared to mobility or compared to energy supply, an area that is kind of underserved with solutions. And we wanted to change that. So we thought there's a huge lever to save CO2 if we make buildings more efficient and save CO2 emissions. That's why we founded Baibu, basically to use data-driven algorithms to improve the energy or to improve the operation of a building energy system to save emissions. That's a global view, but then you have to break it down kind of to the pains of the industry, because let's be frank about it. A majority of the real estate industry, they think less about CO2 emissions and more about, that's not their number one KPI.
Yeah.
They think more about returns, basically. But we are now
It's an
in the,
asset class for most, right? Like,
it's an asset class. It could also for at least for some of the people in the industry, they could also trade art, or I don't know. It's an asset class, in the end. But it's an asset class that is under pressure from multiple sides. So, we have seen in the past, with the war on the Ukraine, rising energy prices, that can become a problem also for asset owners and asset managers, because it basically means that the gross rent that the tenant is paying is going up. So it increases basically pressure on the net rents you can ask for. And the second thing is regulation. So the regulation on buildings is, especially in the European Union, is getting tougher and tougher. And building owners are basically forced to make their buildings more energy efficient and also put certain levels of automation into it.
and then this is where you come in. So what's the solution that you propose? And again, how is that rooted in what you did during your PhD time?
What Vaibu does core is, we measure data in a building. So we take, for example, room temperature measurement data. We measure how much heat a radiator is giving into a room. We take environmental data like weather forecasts, solar radiation forecast, ambient temperature forecast. And out of these data streams, we create, with the help of machine learning, we create thermal models of the building for each individual room, actually, in a building. And we have algorithms that basically use these models to simulate how the building is going to act in the future. So our algorithms know if this is the current weather situation, this is the current situation in the building, and this is how the weather will develop. Where will each temperature in the building or each room temperature be in the next 12 hours? And we can basically use that information to control the building predictively. That means projecting into the future what's going to happen, and then optimize how much heat, for example, goes into a room. That's the kind of the so we operate a cloud platform that runs these algorithms. That saves 20 to 40% in the end. The question then, of course, is how do you get this algorithm into the building? That's just the algorithm. And that's basically the second part of Vaibu. We digitalize old commercial buildings that usually have no level of digitalization yet. We basically go in with hardware and insulation partners, digitalize those buildings, usually with IoT, like wireless IoT devices, so sensors and actuators. Bring the whole digital layer into the building, and then put our cloud platform on top. And next to the algorithm, there's of course also front end, where a facility manager then can operate the building and make sure that everyone is warm in the building and that the energy savings are really achieved.
Right. Because that's obviously the trade-off that most people would think of. And if we think back to the start of the Ukraine war, you know, where we all tried to save energy, and then that often came at a loss in comfort as well, right? If you just turn off your heating, you do have that saving in energy. You do have that monetary saving, especially when energy prices are high, and you might heat with electricity, and you know you have a dynamic electricity tariff, so you might want to use electricity in the mornings and the evenings, and this is where the prices, especially during winter times, will be the highest. That's the non-predictive, non-smart, very analog way of doing it. But what you're also delivering is that comfort piece, right? Because you're sort of allowing facility operators to achieve those energy savings without compromising comfort.
Exactly. And that's the in if you talk buildings, that's the number one KPI that facility managers are worried about. So if you have a solution that doesn't at least keep the comfort, ours usually increases the comfort even, you cannot sell a product into the space. So that's a bare minimum. And otherwise, as you said, if you want to save energy, you can also just switch off the heating, but no one will accept that. And maybe to give you one very specific example of how these algorithms work and how they also maintain comfort, is with these predictive algorithms, you can run very aggressive night setbacks or weekend setbacks. That means going down with the room temperature during a weekend. The special thing about our technology is because our algorithm have learned the thermal behavior of a room. Our algorithm knows, okay, if I want 21 degrees on a Monday morning, I need to start heating exactly at Sunday, maybe at noon, in order to be ready on a Monday morning. And that is very elegant for the facility manager because he or she doesn't have to worry about when to switch on the heating system. Our algorithm takes care of it. So it basically combines less work for the facility manager with
With
energy
better outcomes.
savings. Yeah, exactly.
And then my follow-up question is, why has no one else come up with that part yet? I mean, it sounds like such a straightforward solution the way you describe it. Obviously, there's a lot of research that has gone into it. But why you? Why Boo? What's sort of the secret sauce?
So there had been a lot of research on model, let's say the research term of the technology is model predictive control. So you create a model of something and then you use that model to control it predictively. There had been a lot or has been a lot of research on it since I would say beginning of 2000s on how to control buildings predictively. And the missing piece was always, how we get to these models efficiently, because it's from a thermodynamic perspective, buildings are relatively easy to model, but the difficult thing is that every building is individual. And as soon as you send, let's say, an engineer or physicist to a building and you tell him, please write down all the heat transfer equations for this particular building, then it gets expensive and you can't make a business
And
case
not
of it.
scalable at all, right? Like,
Not
that doesn't make
scalable at
sense.
all. There are even some research papers about it, together with a large building automation company, that where the
Interesting.
final conclusion is we cannot make this financially feasible.
Interesting.
So what we added to that is what came from my and my co-founder Ben's research is what we call physics-informed machine learning. So it's basically blending machine learning with some physical principles, and that allows us to very efficiently build these models from measurement data. So our algorithms basically they are machine learning algorithms, but they know, for example, that heat o only flows from hot to cold and not the other way around, and that makes the algorithms very data efficient. Yeah, scalable.
So if I try to summarize that, at the core of Vaibu, it's not so much I mean, the control part is obviously important, and including all the data streams is important, but the real edge is building those models in the right way, in a scalable way, right? That then allow you to control the buildings based on the models that you have, and thereby because the models are right, because the models are good. They allow you to control the building in the right way, which then in turn achieve the energy savings and the increase in comfort. Is that correct?
Yes, and the second aspect is there we go into details now of what in which segment Vaibu operates. Like we go into older commercial buildings. We usually call them light commercial buildings, as they are buildings that have no level of digitalization yet. And what has also changed is that IoT devices, so wireless kind of sensors and actuators in the building space have become much, much cheaper in the past 10 years, which makes it financially kind of feasible to retrofit these buildings and then run our platform on top. So let's say 15 years ago, even if we had the cloud technology that Vaibu has now, it would have still be difficult to deploy it in these older commercial buildings. But now two things come together and it works.
And let's just talk about the applications there for a second. The you just mentioned light commercial building. So why is that your your niche, your first market, and why not other types of buildings? Because I guess from a public perspective, you always think of, the home that you're living in, but that's not your first market, right? Because they're not like commercial buildings.
Yeah, there are various aspects to it. One is other spaces are quite crowded already. Like if we talk about home energy management, for example, or even smart thermostats at home, it's not super easy to even with a superior technology, it's not super easy to differentiate yourself in that market. And it's kind of a price war market now, like the smart home industry, so it's not very attractive to be in. On the other end of the spectrum, we kind of have full commercial buildings, which are like larger shopping centers, skyscrapers in Frankfurt, these kind of buildings. They usually have communication systems already, and theoretically we could hook up our cloud to that as well. But then again, there are also some companies that optimize these buildings already, and they're also doing a good job. So we thought that's not the space to be in because we are also a bit impact driven. Like, right, we founded Vaibu to save CO2 in the end. And the whole light commercial space was largely underserved, and it's a asset class that is going to be forced to be heavily automated by regulation in the next years, and also to heavily increase the energy efficiency. So it's for us, it's an attractive market because there will be demand, and there is demand especially because of this regulation now. But then also from an impact perspective, it's a segment where we can have a lot of impact.
Yeah, and I guess from the competitive point of view as well, and speed to market, it's easier to tap into an underserved market than compete with, the existing building automation players that might say to the existing customers, look, we also have a cloud-based solution, and maybe it's not as good as Vaibu's, but if it saves 5 to 10% compared to you're 20 to 40, the customer still might stick with the existing solution just because they perceive a hassle to switch and switching costs, blah blah blah. We know how that game works. It's smart to go into a market that is just not digitalized at all yet and just not served yet, and really deliver the value there quickly and then branch into the other markets wherever you see opportunity and fit. And that brings us to, I mean, you just said also that you already have traction revenue. So let's talk about that for a second. So how far have you come since you founded Vaibu?
I mean, I can't give you exact numbers here, but
I'm not looking for the exact numbers though.
but yeah, we have substantial revenue. We are in more than, I think, 120 buildings by now, which for a PropTech of 3 years old now is quite relatively fast. It's a very, very slow industry, the real
It's
estate
quite conservative,
industry.
huh?
It's quite conservative. So we have really good traction there. We recently raised our second financing round.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. With Realize Ventures from Germany. And from the start of the fundraising, they were one of our two favorite lead investors. So we were really happy to convince them in the end, because they are basically a PropTech only investor that is backed by real estate funds. So it's a perfect entry door for us to new customer, not to new customer segments, but concretely we want to address the German market next. So our first European Union market. So they are basically the perfect partner to do that.
And I guess quite a good fit there in terms of your geographic location now and branching out of Switzerland into the next market, but that still speaks the same language. So, and it's quite a huge market as well compared to Switzerland. So that probably makes a lot of sense.
So concretely, we were looking at France and Germany, because they were these countries are both relatively fast in putting the European Union regulations into national laws. So they are it's the Gebäudeenergiegesetz in Germany and BAX-Décret in France. But then because of my location, because of the lead investor that has a broad network into the German real estate market and then language, Germany was the top choice.
I mean, you just mentioned also that you raised the money. What will you use the money for? I mean, you said that it would be used to expand into the German market, but what does that mean in practice? How does that look?
So indeed, most of the funds will go into commercial expansion, so sales and customer success, marketing, and so on. And roughly 30% will go to technical developments of our platform, because so far our platform is a let's say an energy saving tool that also helps the facility manager to operate the building. But what's also important is that an asset manager, for example, or an ESG manager can prove that they saved energy with us. And there are tools to, for example, to manage portfolios. And we basically want to hook up into these, be compatible with these tools,
So shape the
that
integrations.
exactly. And then there are a couple of aspects regarding regulation in the European Union that we want to address as well. So sp very specifically now, Vibu is optimizing the heat distribution in a building at the moment. We also want to go to the heat generation in the basement and also control the boiler, the heat pump, and so on.
And just out of interest there, because we mentioned regulation as a key driver in this conversation a number of times. What's your take and view on regulation in the sector? Because obviously in Germany, the Gebäudeenergiegesetz was under a lot of media scrutiny, under a lot of pressure. I think that's the first time probably ever people have talked about such a law in such detail without knowing the details that much. And then more in general, because you also mentioned, ESG reporting and so on, there seems to be a trend that the focus is shifting away from that green pressure again, whilst obviously the regulation for buildings to become more energy efficient are in place. Is this sort of this dual trend of less focus on actual ESG reporting and so on, whilst the deadlines for having to comply with the existing regulations are approaching fast. So how do you navigate that landscape of maybe conflicting or diverting interests? What's your take? And is that at all felt in the building, a commercial building space, or is that just sort of an outside view?
No, it's very much felt, and it's quite interesting actually. If you talk to two asset managers, and I ask them like, how worried are you about stranded assets, for example? So stranded assets are basically buildings that are so bad that by regulation or by economic mechanisms they cannot be rented out or sold anymore. If I ask two asset managers whether they are worried about stranded assets, one tells me, yes, that's my number one concern, and you are my last hope here to not get that asset stranded. And the second one tells you, I don't care at all. I don't believe in it. I think in 10 years' time, we'll be back to not caring about that, about ESG, at all. So there is not a clear opinion, on it, because although there is regulation, it's still quite fuzzy. Because regulation is also not heavily enforced in that field. So if no one has to pay expensive fees, then you can ask the question like, do I which
Why
like
care? Why act?
why do I care, or is the bigger risk that I spend money for something that I don't actually need?
Yeah, or is it sort
Or
of economically even viable to pay the fine if I should be fined compared to investing in a solution?
exactly.
And I'm not even sure which technology will make it to the finish line, so I'd rather sit it out and wait.
On the other hand, I also see developments of like individual let's say, asset and ESG managers in these large, let's say, institutional real estate funds that have an intrinsic motivation to make a change because they also believe, and I also believe it's kind of the responsibility of the asset class, as well. Buildings are the number one CO2 emitter, but also the largest asset class in the world. And so it comes with a social responsibility. And I can see individual people and also, let's say, communities in this industry that are pushing from an, let's say, intrinsic motivation that they want to make it a greener class. And I think that is going to stay. Like the it hasn't become easier, let's say, in the past 2 years for clean tech companies in general. I don't think that it's going to go away because there are enough people that have realized that it's a necessity and not a nice to have.
Yeah. And I guess that brings us also back to the elegance of your solution. I think what's nice compared to many other climate tech solutions is the real impact that you deliver. So if you look across other companies, the incremental benefit is often a few percentage points, and it might come at the cost of comfort or sort of straightforwardness, if that makes sense. Like if you have to invest upfront capital, shutting down your plant to install equipment and so on, it becomes a real hassle. I think the beauty of the way you do it is sort of there is no digital layer, so you bring the digital layer to a building that also brings more information that wasn't there before to the facility manager. So it's just sort of, there's more.
Yeah, there are other values on top.
Exactly. And then the energy savings plus, increased comfort, I think it's a really good value proposition compared to sort of saying, look, you can switch to, I mean, if we take the food analogy, maybe the first generation of plant-based meat, didn't taste great. It was more expensive, and texture was off. There's little incentive for people to make a switch. And I think sort of Beyond Meat maybe was the first one when they launched the burger patties, and they smelled, they tasted, they felt like the meat burger patties. Out of a sudden, there was a product market fit for that category to say, well, now switching costs are not there anymore. It's very easy to do the right thing. And I feel doing the right thing is really, this is also where your answer before pointed to, is what you have achieved with Vaibu.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a economical win for everyone as well. So that's the nice thing on top. Like, we don't necessarily require regulations to make it an attractive solution. What we require is a kind of high enough energy price. Like, if energy is for free, there's no economic incentive to save energy. But in the like at the current even at the current energy prices that are quite low again, the solution economically makes sense for the tenant, for the building owner, and for us, because the tenant in the end saves energy costs. The asset owner can usually pass on the costs for Viber to the tenant, and of course we are selling our product, so it's a win-win-win in the end, which makes it of course relatively easy to sell, although it is a slow and conservative industry we are selling
Yeah, but then again, you said, you
into.
have fast traction as a 3-year-old company. So if we look another 3 to 5 years ahead, what's your vision for Baibu? Where will you be?
3, 5 years. So we'll be very successful in Germany. We'll be the market leader in the light commercial segment. We will probably have entered our third and fourth market by then. That's also kind of one of the milestones we want to achieve in the next phase, to prove in Germany that this is a solution that we can take from
Right.
Switzerland to other countries
Sort of to
as well.
replicate that market fit across European countries.
And then I see in the long term, also where Vaibu is headed, let's say, technologically, is I see buildings really as an energy asset in the future, and not kind of an energy reliability. We are already seeing that kind of in the private residential space, where NPI and 1,5 are kind of doing the job at the moment in Germany, at least to digitalize private real estate and then to operate these buildings kind of as energy hubs. And of course, in commercial buildings, we have a huge untapped storage potential for energy, basically. Millions of tons of concrete that we can basically activate with heat pumps, for example, that are connected to a electricity system with dynamic pricing. And we have basically our image is always the building as an energy asset operated from the cloud. And I think this is really where the industry is going to head and where we want to be leading.
And I
What's
guess that,
not 100% clear yet is how the market is going to be structured
yeah.
around it, but that a building is going to be dynamically controlled, kind of to be operated as a battery, is basically set in stone.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to rephrase that picture that buildings ultimately become those buffers and that flexibility for the energy system, right? We always talk about either having too much energy supply or too much demand, and this is, I think, where commercial buildings, especially as they're such a huge contributor, and then such an untapped potential right now, can really bring that balancing power, especially because they also have that corresponding use, I guess, compared to residential homes, right? With residential homes, they're mostly mornings and evenings, and commercial buildings is probably during
True.
daytime. So, sort of that adds up quite nicely in terms of, when to use energy, when to feed back in energy. And I think it's also fits quite well with the product vision that you described earlier, to not just focus on the energy demand side, but also the generation, and really bring that all-encompassing solution to the market.
And I really like the kind of the paradigm shift, because at the beginning I said like buildings are responsible for 30 to 40% of our CO2 emissions.
Right.
In the future, it could very well be that buildings are actively helping us to decarbonize the electricity grid. So it's
Yeah.
like it's from a very negative perspective to a very positive
That's
perspective.
true. And
And
the
yeah.
nice part about it is also, I guess, that you're shifting that perspective from sort of buildings are always seen as, this quite static asset class. You know, you build them once and then they're there for 50 years. I think the conversations that we see now often is, we don't have the batteries, we don't have ABC, but we do have that huge building stock. So out of a sudden, that asset class can really turn its longevity into an advantage to say, well, we're already here. It just needs sort of small additions to make us smart, as you pointed out with the sensors and IoT devices. You know, that sort of it's very minor investment, I would assume, compared to the original building costs. Out of a sudden, transforms them into the 21st century and into a whole new market out of building to energy. What a ride! I have one last question, which is one that I always ask the founders joining this podcast, and I guess this also applies to you. What is it that keeps you going? Because running and scaling a software company is not the easiest thing you could do. You know, you could have stayed in research. You pointed out, Berkeley, ETH, Zurich. So I would assume that many doors would have been open for you, but then you chose the pathway to found your own company, and especially then in a very conservative industry as well. So, what is it that makes you get up in the morning and, well, say it's another day for Webu?
So the idea of Weibo, or why we founded Weibo, was, and that's still what keeps me going, is that we kind of had the feeling we have found these algorithms now, and we have proven scientifically that they save 20 to 40% of energy. If we don't take these findings now and put them into practice, we might as well not do research at all. Like, what's
Right.
the point if you just keep it in the either in the drawer or in the ivory tower, kind of. So So my and my co-founder's motivation was really to take this technology and put it into as many buildings as we can. And that's what we try to do every day, basically, because we know it's a significant societal problem we can help solving with it. It's fun to work together on that problem. We have a really cool team executing on this vision kind of, and
And you have the traction as well, as we
and we have
discussed
the
today, which I
exactly
think contributes probably to the fun to say the problem that you've identified and the solution that you bring is bought and understood by people. I think that's the important part, right? Which makes the difference between, as you pointed out, keeping the research in the desk drawer and even a company. If no one gets your solution or if no one buys your solution, then I guess the fun part is not really there because it's a really uphill battle. But I think with you really have something unique that the market sees and values and wants to pay for it. And as you pointed out, being a 3-year-old company, being in more than 120 buildings, and now eyeing the first international market and a very large one, I think speaks to the team and what you have going on.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, Felix, thank you so much for all your insights. Really appreciated the depth of the conversation, you explaining the technology, the market, the key drivers, and then I guess all I can say, best of luck in making the market entry in Germany successful. I hope to see Weibo in very many commercial buildings or light commercial buildings, so you can really tap into that unserved market and unserved potential.
Thanks for having me on.
It was a pleasure. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.